We have had a development here. The players initially thought they would play tonight, but they have changed their mind, and Elizabeth Williams would like to read this statement.
After speaking with representatives from teams playing tonight, as well as our WNBPA leadership, the consensus is to not play in tonight's slate of games and to kneel, lock arms, and raise fists during the national anthem. We stand in solidarity with our brothers in the NBA. We have been saying her name. We are lifting the names of black and brown women whose murders have been forgotten. We will continue to use our platform to speak of these injustices that are still happening and demand action for change. Black Lives Matter, say her name. Say his name.
That was Atlanta Dream forward and WNBPA executive committee member Elizabeth Williams. And when she read that statement Wednesday night in the wake of the decision by NBA and WNBA players to boycott their games, it had additional resonance. Because she and her fellow players haven't just been calling for justice. They've been demanding it in a very public way from their owner, who just happens to be a U.S. senator. Today, on the anniversary of Martin Luther King's speech, from which the Atlanta Dream take their name, ESPN's Ramona Shelburne brings us inside a battle between a league, its players, and an owner over the Black Lives Matter movement. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Friday, August 28th. This is ESPN Daily. Ramona Shelburne, I want to start with a particular moment in the WNBA bubble earlier this month. And please set the scene for us. It's the Atlanta Dream. They're taking the court for a nationally televised game on August 4th. What happens?
So on August 4th, the Atlanta Dream drive to their game against the Phoenix Mercury, and they're all wearing a shirt that says, "Vote Warnock."
Ramona Shelburne covers all manner of basketball for ESPN.
Unless you are a political nerd, like if you're reading Nate Silver every day and tracking Senate races around the country, that probably wouldn't mean much to you. But Raphael Warnock is a reverend in Georgia, and he happens to be a reverend at the same church that Martin Luther King used to be a reverend at. He potentially would be the first African-American senator from Georgia since Reconstruction. And he happens to be running in the election in November against the owner of the Atlanta Dream, Senator Kelly Loeffler.
So hold on, let's break that down, because you have players now intentionally provoking the woman who writes their paychecks, yeah. Kelly Loeffler, by wearing t-shirts in support of her political rival.
It was basically akin to walking in with a shirt that had a middle finger up. I mean, that's essentially what they were doing.
Mm.
I mean, it's not just saying, "Vote Warnock." It's saying, "Do not vote for our owner." It's saying, "This is the guy we endorse, and he is everything that our owner is not."
So, Ramona, catch us up here. Why did the players do this in the first place? What were they responding to as Senator Loeffler goes?
Well, you know, this summer, the WNBA, like a lot of people in the country, were caught up in the social justice movement and the protests that were going on around the country. And they wanted to find a way to dedicate their season to fighting for social justice. And amidst everything else that's going on in this world, how does basketball feel meaningful to you at all? And the way it felt meaningful to the 144 women at the WNBA was to say, okay, we are going to do everything we can to promote social justice, to promote causes we care about. So on July 6th, they come out with this whole rollout of their plans, and they're going to wear shirts that say her name. They're going to paint Black Lives Matter on the court. They're going to wear shirts that say Black Lives Matter. They're going to have all these moments where they're raising awareness for certain causes. July 7th, Senator Loeffler, who's a Republican from Georgia, sends a letter to Kathy Engelbert, the WNBA commissioner, saying, "I object to the league's association with the Black Lives Matter movement. This is a political cause that we shouldn't be associating with."
So here's an excerpt from Loeffler's letter to WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert. Quote, "The truth is we need less, not more politics in sports. I adamantly oppose the Black Lives Matter political movement."
When the players first see this letter, what goes through their minds?
I mean, it was a grenade. It cut them deeply. And I think it felt very personal. I mean, this is a league that was 80% African-American. It felt like a very personal attack and a personal repudiation of everything that these players had just said very publicly was important to them.
So what do they do? What do they do in response after sorting through their initial emotions about this?
You know, the interviews that those players did initially were very raw and personal.
I was super hurt, honestly. I mean, to kind of see her double down in this moment where we literally have videos of Black people being murdered, you know, it's really hurtful to hear that.
My sentiment is that I just don't understand why you would want to be a part of something that just has such different beliefs than you.
And then they would see Senator Loeffler appear on other media.
I had to speak out for those that disagree with this movement because our country's too important. And I suggested that we unite behind the American flag because that is the symbol that has endured wars, pandemics.
Mm-hmm. Couple weeks into this, they recognized that every time they responded to Senator Loeffler, they were giving her something else to respond to. They were giving her oxygen. They were giving her another story to continue to make this into a campaign issue. And when you realize you're being played, when you realize that the league is being used as a campaign issue for someone to run on, it feels like a betrayal. I mean, you really feel used. And so the players started consulting with political consultants. And so for the past couple of weeks, they've been strategizing on how do we get out of this war of words and play, in Sue Bird's words, chess, not checkers.
One of the players that sort of led this charge to respond in a more strategic way was Dream Forward Elizabeth Williams, who we heard reading that statement at the top of the show. What did her role end up being?
Well, you know, she was really a revelation to me. She gathered her teammates on a Zoom call. She knew this was something that they as a team needed to address.
We didn't want to feel like we were kind of pawns. And so for us, we wanted it to be kind of bigger than just what's at face value. So we wanted to make sure we could still keep the focus on our social justice movement.
And the Dream players essentially said, we're going to issue a statement on behalf of the Dream, responding to the letter. And so on this Zoom call, they said everything they had to say. There was even a psychologist on this call because they knew how emotional it was. And then they issued a statement. And I made sure to see who else was on that call. Like, was that statement, which is essentially repudiating everything their owner had just said, was it ever read by the owners? Did it have to be approved? And the answer I got was no. They just issued it from the official Atlanta Dream social media handles. Then they issued it each themselves. And Elizabeth Williams was really front and center in organizing that part of the response.
We wanted to be strategic. We wanted to be intentional about our words and our language. And we wanted to make sure that whatever action was taken in doing so, all of the ideas that we've been focused on weren't lost.
What is the statement the Atlanta Dream releases? What does it actually say?
The statement that the Atlanta Dream players release, again, on the official Atlanta Dream social media channels is, we are the women of the Atlanta Dream. We are women who support a movement. We are strong and we are fearless. We offer a voice to the voiceless. Our team is united in the movement for Black lives. It is not extreme to demand change after centuries of inequality. This is not a political statement. This is a statement of humanity. Black lives matter.
So in their dueling statements, this rivalry had emerged between the players and the owner of the Atlanta Dream. But who is Kelly Loeffler? And why would she so publicly provoke her own team? That's coming up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ramona, Forbes has estimated that Kelly Loeffler is the richest member of Congress, but she does have these humble roots, growing up on a farm in Illinois before winding up an executive at the Intercontinental Exchange alongside her husband, who was the founder and CEO. That company happens to own, among other things, the New York Stock Exchange. But back in 2011, when she purchased the Atlanta Dream, how was Loeffler initially received as an owner?
Yeah, she was like this basketball fan. She had played in high school. She knew the game. She would sit courtside and she would watch and cheer and yell. I mean, I don't know if I would go so far as to call her Steve Ballmer-like, but she was into it. She would watch the game tape at night. Like, she would sit and watch the game. Then she would watch the game tape and she'd take notes on it like she was a scout and send them to players. Wow. And send it to the coach. I mean, she was really interested and invested in this team. And she had dinners at her house. And Pablo, this is like you as a reporter and writer, you know, this is one of those tangents that you go down. You know, I just keep wanting to write more and more about this house that Kelly Loeffler and her husband, Jeff Sprecher, live in.
Right, right.
Okay. It's called Disconte.
What was the house like?
It's a mansion. It's not just a house. It was bought for $10.5 million, which in Atlanta real estate was some kind of record at the time, in 2009. And it's modeled after the Palace of Versailles. So if you've been there in France, you can picture what Disconte might look like. And one of her former players, Renee Montgomery, who's a player for the Atlanta Dream, who's sitting out this season to focus on her foundation and social justice causes, essentially says, that was the thing. I went over and you saw it was a really nice house. There was great art there. It was nice, really nice things. You could tell they had great taste. But when you talked to Kelly, she was really down to earth.
I've talked to her one-on-one. I actually think she's great. She, in a sense of, you would, when you talk to her, she doesn't talk down to you. You know, we all know that she's very wealthy and she's a very powerful woman. But when she speaks to you, you know, she was actually really nice and down to earth.
Kelly Loeffler didn't strike anyone as somebody who was against a lot of the initiatives that the WNBA did. I think that's why a lot of the players I spoke to, a lot of the people who worked for her, they felt a little betrayed when she came out with that letter and then the subsequent comments she's made on social media and in interviews.
This political organization, Black Lives Matter, not this statement, we all agree with the statement, but this political organization that wants to defund the police, it promotes anti-Semitism and violence, it doesn't believe in the nuclear family. I mean, we're talking moms and dads. I said, how can the league support that?
They didn't know her that way. She had never said anything like this to them in their interactions.
So how does Kelly Loeffler, the businesswoman, the owner of the Atlanta Dream, become Kelly Loeffler, the senator?
Yeah, this is interesting, Pablo. Johnny Isaacson retires in the middle of his term as a long-term Republican senator from Georgia. And Brian Kemp, who's the Republican governor of Georgia, gets to make the pick. Brian Kemp decides, I'm going to do this completely differently. I'm going to open this to applications. So you literally had to apply for the job of U.S. senator.
Wow.
I don't know where they posted this ad, but you literally had to submit your application for U.S. Senator to Brian Kemp. I'm sure he got some fun ones. Kelly Loeffler waited until the last day to apply, and Brian Kemp ends up picking Kelly Loeffler.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming our next U.S. Senator, Kelly Loeffler.
The reason being, according to a lot of the political science professors that we spoke to, is she would appeal to the type of suburban women who had started to abandon the Republican Party in recent elections.
My name is Kelly Loeffler. I'm a devoted wife, a proud patriot, and a devout Christian. I have lived the American dream.
So Ramona, Kelly Loeffler becomes a senator, but almost immediately, her campaign takes this major hit. And I have to confess, this is how I first learned of Kelly Loeffler. Yeah. I learned of her in March when she was among the lawmakers who got investigated by the Justice Department for dumping stock after a closed-door governmental coronavirus briefing. And she eventually gets cleared of any wrongdoing. But more broadly, it kind of leaves her vulnerable in what is an upcoming special election. So what has been Kelly Loeffler's strategy to overcome that chapter in her political history?
When Kelly Loeffler gets appointed to the Senate, one of the big negatives she has is that she's the co-owner of the Atlanta Dream in the WNBA, which is seen as an organization that promotes LGBTQ issues, has associations with Planned Parenthood, is seen as a very liberal social organization. Then she has a scandal where the Justice Department investigates her for dumping stock. It just wasn't a great start to her political career. And how do you get people to stop talking about something you don't want them to talk about? You come up with an issue that you do want them to talk about. So Kelly Loeffler starts doing everything she can to start winning over the conservative voters who don't trust her. And I think that's where the WNBA players who have really dug in and studied on this have figured out, oh, that's where we come in.
WNBA Players Union is calling for Senator Kelly Loeffler to be removed as co-owner of the Atlanta Dream. They tweeted this, enough out.
She spoke out in opposition to the league's plan to promote the Black Lives Matter message.
But now she's in danger of being canceled after publicly disagreeing with the WNBA.
The league said they will continue to use our platform to vigorously advocate for social justice.
So it is an all-out battle in full public display for the entire world to see, really, between a professional sports team and their owner, which is so rare, Ramona Shelburne, unless you happen to have been intimately familiar with the case of Donald Sterling, where racist statements by an NBA owner caused the league to force him out. How would you compare these two stories?
She hasn't said anything that can get her banned for life, like Donald Sterling was. I mean, and the reason why Donald Sterling was banned for life is essentially he said horrible racist things to his mistress. They became public on TMZ.
People call you and tell you that I have black people on my Instagram, and it bothers you.
Yeah, it bothers me a lot that you want to broadcast that you're associating with black people.
Players threatened to boycott games, and advertisers threatened to pull their money. Mm. That was how Adam Silver invoked the, quote, best interests of the game law that he used to ban Donald Sterling for life. Nothing Kelly Loeffler has said has crossed that kind of boundary. It's upset people. It's been controversial, but she hasn't crossed any lines. This is just her free speech. This is just her views. Kathy Engelbert, the WNBA commissioner, said to the players, like, we hear you. We know you're upset. You know, we're sorry about that, but we can't force her to sell.
We are not going to force her to sell her ownership. She is not a current governor. She is not involved in the day-to-day. And we are aware there are interested parties who want to purchase the team.
Kelly Loeffler, you know, I asked her very point blank. She said, I'm still going to watch my team. I'm still going to support my team. She isn't involved in the day-to-day operations of the team, but she's still writing the checks.
So she can't be forced out as an owner of the team. All of which brings us back to the night of August 4th and those t-shirts. How and why did the players on the Atlanta Dream settle on that form of protest?
Well, if they can't force her out of the WNBA, maybe they can help vote her out of the Senate. By wearing those shirts, by getting the national attention they got for what I thought was a pretty bold move. We've seen athletes campaign for politicians before, but I don't think we've ever seen an entire league actively campaign against a sitting senator, let alone the owner of a team in their league. Players on all 12 teams wore the shirts. Wasn't every single player
in the league, but it was players on all 12 teams, and I think it was most of them. But you know as well as I do right now, it's not always about how many people were watching at the moment they stepped off the bus. It's how many people saw the video that went around the world and how many people then asked the question, well, why are they wearing those shirts? What's the story behind this? And now we're aware of this issue and the way that they're responding to it. The Warnock campaign, they raised $130,000 overnight. That night, signed up 3,500 extra grassroots donors that night. I think it'll, when we look back on this, this will be one of those political stands that players have taken, whether it be wearing I Can't Breathe shirts, whether it be Kaepernick kneeling, whether it be LeBron James, More Than a Vote. I think the Atlanta Dream players and the WNBA walking into an arena wearing Vote Warnock shirts is going to be a moment that we remember for a long time.
So Ramona, how does this standoff ultimately resolve?
Whew. You know, I think they're going to keep wearing the shirts. And I think that Kelly Loeffler is going to keep saying that the Black Lives Matter political movement should not be something the league is engaged in. So I think it resolves in November. I think she's either still a sitting senator or she loses that. It's going to be one to watch because I don't think there's an easy end for this.
Ramona Shelburne, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Pablo.
For more on Kelly Loeffler's battle with the WNBA and the Atlanta Dream, read Ramona's story, co-written with Katie Barnes, out today on ESPN.com. Coming up, as games across all major sports are postponed due to player protests, how sports come November can offer big structural solutions.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Here's another story I want you to know. As the NBA and WNBA and NHL and MLB and MLS all figure out how to return to some sense of normal this weekend, we're gonna hear all sorts of talk about structural problems like police brutality and racism, and we should. But my hope is that we hear just as much about structural solutions. And I mean that quite literally, as in solutions that are also actual structures. Enormous structures, in fact. Structures that can double as the best venues in our country to help encourage and optimize democracy come November. Consider. In pandemic-era America, where both voting rights and voter health are in jeopardy, we desperately need polling sites designed to handle thousands of people, but are still big enough to allow for social distancing. We need giant parking lots that are proven to handle insane traffic. We need areas where election observers can sit, watching the action, helping referee misconduct. We legally need compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act. And we need to remember that every single pro sports team in our nation already possesses one of these mythical structures that is all of those things in one. Their stadium. Which is why I'm thankful that two nonprofits have emerged this summer to help us realize exactly that. One of them is More Than a Vote, the organization fronted by LeBron James, which has already signed up the Milwaukee Bucks, Atlanta Hawks, Detroit Pistons, and Los Angeles Dodgers. The other nonprofit is the Election Supercenters Project, which has already added the Pittsburgh Steelers, Boston Red Sox, New Jersey Devils, Indiana Pacers, Washington Wizards, and Los Angeles Clippers. All of which amounts to a tremendous start. But given the dozens upon dozens upon dozens of arenas that exist, that's not even close to this concept's true potential. As former NFL executive Scott Pioli told the Cleveland Business Journal this month, why aren't we using these publicly built facilities for the public, for one of our most basic rights as Americans? And if both owners and politicians say they want to listen to athletes right now, Pioli's question feels like a really good one to keep asking, over and over and over again. I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. Our show is produced by Alexander Hyacinth, Mike Johns, Steve Martin, Ryan Nantel, Andy Tennant, Eve Tro, Chris Tumanello, and Aaron Vail. Special thanks this week to Max Brodsky, Garrett Lang, Sarah Kazadi, and Troy Farkas. I'll talk to you Monday.